We head to Calgary this morning, and a week ago we talked to Mr. Eric Francis and spitballed the idea of whether Calgary would be a good fit and whether it would make sense for Jacob Markstrom. Well, not only did they bring in Jacob Markstrom, they took Chris Tanev as well. And now to talk about it all, and are they a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, is the face that runs the place in the city of Calgary, the unofficial mayor, Mr. Eric Francis. How are you, sir?
Man, nice intro. Good on you. Thank you, buddy. I know what you're doing, though. Trying to make up for the fact that you called me by the wrong name last time we spoke.
Oh, dude, I've been on a roll all week, right,
really?
Pear?
Yeah.
I called him Spectre.
We're even now.
Hey, Chief Francis, he's called me Cebulski twice this week. Really? Like, I know we're both Polish and you can hit the ski part of it, but twice to start both shows and again this morning. Yeah, it's James Cebulski and Perry Cebulski. Hey, let me ask you this before we get into hockey, and I don't mean to put you on a downer. Is your golf season over there in Calgary?
Oh, yeah. I just got out of the car and all, you know, snow squalls, snow warning in effect. And we had the best summer ever in Calgary, so no one's feeling sorry for us. But yeah, it's definitely over. All the courses closed yesterday pretty much, and we move on. It's weird having an off season for hockey with no golf to fall back on. I'm going to have to take up – I'm a big puzzler. I like doing puzzles, and so I might have to order a bunch of puzzles online if they're still selling them. I thought they all sold out during the
you and Perry, you guys can trade. You guys can trade puzzles.
I'm in, buddy. If you, I like, I'll send you a text out off the air. I'll tell you what kind of puzzles I like. But because I'm very particular. I don't want one with a big mountain and a blue sky. That could take me years.
Trust me, this pandemic's going forever. You have your guy call my guy. He'll meet you in a back alley with a trunk and we'll solve the puzzle.
It's funny, just as an aside, we'll talk hockey in a second. During the pandemic, we all did weird things. We all ordered weird things from Amazon. But the weirdest part for me was I found an old lady on Kijiji who was selling four puzzles, and I drove 35 minutes across my city to go pick up two puzzles from her for $7 a piece. You couldn't get them online, but it was just the weirdest thing. She left them on the front stoop because we weren't allowed to keep, there's no contact. Anyway, when you're driving 35 minutes to meet some old lady for a puzzle, things are weird.
Yeah. Say that. Yeah. Eric Francis joining us. Okay, so a week ago exactly, James calling you by the wrong name, and we're wondering what's going on with Calgary. As a hockey base there, are the fans excited that Treleving, again, who wheels and deals, got it right?
Well, I don't know. Like, I'll preface it by saying I don't think goaltending was a problem in Calgary last year. Like, I think they were 13th in save percentage and goals against average. Like, and then in the playoffs, Cam Talbot was one of the best goalies in the NHL in the playoffs. But the thing is, it was a very rare, unique opportunity to get a goalie of that caliber. I think you guys would probably put him top five in the league right now where he's at in his career. I don't know where you see him. I mean, I'd love to get your perspective. But, you know, an elite goalie on the open market and the added bonus. And I'm not sure that Treleving factored this in, but the added bonus of snatching him away from the Oilers and, of course, from you guys. The two biggest rivals that the team has, he prevented them from getting a world-class goaltender. So, you know, is this make them a Stanley Cup champion? I don't know. Like, I guess if you're ever going to win a cup, you certainly need to have an elite goaltender. And I think he would fall into that category. But, you know, did the Flames get better in free agency? I would suggest to you that Tanev is a step down from TJ Brody. You know, I mean, I'm not a huge step down, but not quite as offensively minded. So, anyway, I people are not dancing in the streets, put it that way. But people thought it was kind of cool that a GM finally went out and stole the bell of the ball, and that doesn't happen in Calgary very often.
You know, that's the one thing I will say, like, when it comes to Treleving, I love the fact that he's pretty fearless in the way that he has never been afraid to pivot year after year. Like, if he crashes and burns here, Eric – Like, if he fails, he fails. But, you know, you can't say that he didn't stand there and take a legitimate home run swing. And he seems to do it year after year, whether it was, you know, I was in Calgary for a wedding a couple of years ago, and there was, you know, there was the Dougie Hamilton and the Ferland trade with, you know, picking up Lindholm and Hanifin. You know, that was a bold move. You know, it's making that pivot with, you know, moving on James Neal and bringing in Milan Lucic and taking that chance. And, you know, here we are this year. It's Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev. And, you know, I guess when it comes to Markstrom, I think sometimes we're all guilty of sometimes watching the home team a little too often. And it's sometimes tough to forget those years that Markstrom would allow that early goal. Per, do you know what I'm talking about? Like that early goal in the first period that he had the tendency, and he finally shook it off. But then even this year, you know, getting hurt in February, being out for a month in a playoff race, and then, you know, and then being out in the middle of the playoffs, like, that's what concerns me about a guy who legitimately needs time off there, Eric.
Yeah, fair. You know, I'll just say, same thing with TJ Brody. It's funny, the Toronto market right now is, you know, oh my God, that's exactly what we needed. We needed a TJ Brody to play on that top pairing with Morgan Riley. And, you know, they're heralding TJ Brody as the savior. And, you know, everyone in Calgary is like, enjoy that. We've seen the TJ Brody act here for 8 years, and it wasn't really that impressive. So, you know, it's at a point where you guys are probably the same way. You're like, Calgary's going wild, and the whole league says that he is. Markstrom's the belle of the ball. But at the end of the day, you know, you guys have seen him. You know him better than anybody else. And he's not as great as everyone else kind of cracks him up to be. I hate the term one man's garbage is another man's gold, because nobody's garbage and nobody's gold in this. But the point is, your point is a good one.
Well, my question is this. Eric Francis joins us from Calgary. We talk about the Calgary Flames and Calgary Flames / Canuck players who are there. Is the issue in Calgary not Johnny Gaudreau? Like, I mean, we talked to a lot of your colleagues, and we said, hey, is he going to be back next year? And some said, I don't think so. But do you see how Johnny Gaudreau is not back on this team now?
First of all, you nailed it. Like, I've been beating this drum that he's a passenger every year in the playoffs, and if this team's ever going to get anywhere, he's going to have to step up and play playoff hockey. But I don't think he's capable of it at 159 pounds and the style of perimeter game that he plays. So I would suggest that, yes, that is the number one question. But nobody, you know, they don't really want to talk about that. And put it this way, I think he would move Johnny Gaudreau, and I think he's tried. Let me rephrase that. I think he's certainly open to that possibility, but I just don't think the market right now is conducive to getting any sort of value for Johnny Gaudreau. After the last three playoffs he had, after the last season he had, his point production went way down. The bloom's off the rose there. So, you know, you're going to trade Johnny Gaudreau at some point, because he's got 2 years left on his contract, and there's no way he's re-signing here, in my opinion. He's an East Coast guy. So you got to get something for him at some point. The clock is ticking. I say the time is now, but after the playoff he just had, you're not going to get much for him. And I'm sure he's kicked tires with other teams, and they've lowballed him on offers. And he's not going to give away Johnny Gaudreau. You know, at worst case scenario, Johnny Gaudreau stays with the team, goes through another playoff, and is a perimeter player, but, you know, he's not counted on to be your star. Maybe he's your second line guy. Maybe that works. I don't know. But yeah, he is the focal point, in my opinion. But the team certainly doesn't want to talk about that, because it's a touchy subject.
Eric Francis here on Sportsnet 650. It's been really quiet on that front from when all the talk percolated as soon as the Flames season ended, and then it's kind of gone quiet since then. And you're right, like, you know, with the way the economy is right now, you know, are you going to get market value, especially selling low at a time like this on the stock? Now, which kind of begs the question, like, you know, you look a couple provinces over from where you guys are right now, and the story in Winnipeg, that the Patrick Laine situation has not sorted itself out, where they went out and they brought back Paul Stastny. They thought maybe that'll quiet things down and give Laine a little chemistry again with another legitimate playmaking center. And then we're hearing reports yesterday that Patrick Laine still sounds like he wants out of Winnipeg. Like, how do you facilitate that deal with the Jets there, Eric?
It gets so much harder when the player goes public and says he wants out, right?
Because
then it gets to be an untenable situation. You have to move him, which means you're dealing from a massive position of weakness, and that's what you don't want. I will say, you talk about the noise about Johnny Gaudreau, and really, there have never been rumors. Like, you've never heard rumors that he's on the block. You've never heard, oh, that maybe Montreal was thinking about moving Domi for Gaudreau. Or you've never heard any rumors. So that's one thing. You've heard a lot of talk that he needs to move. But, you know, the Flames have done a good job making sure that he stays out of the news. And if they are shopping him around, they don't want that to be known out there, because it's never a good thing, right? So, you know, the Laine situation will be fascinating, especially if the player's antsy to get out. Gaudreau came out just at the end of the season and had seen jackasses like me writing columns saying that they've got to get rid of him, and made a very public plea not a public plea, but just saying, I want to retire a Calgary Flame. Everyone thinks I'm not going to resign here, but I do want to retire a Calgary Flame. I love the city. I love the fans. I love the Saddle Dome. And no one's ever said they love the Saddle Dome, so that's when we knew he was lying.
So
I'm just
true.
Kidding. I love the Dome. I love the Dome.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric, when you look and see, we're going to have Brendan Gallagher on in just over an hour's time here. You see it like Seaball and I did, that of all the Canadian teams, man, Mark Bergeron's last week is like setting a new personal best for him on the bench press, man. He got everything right.
Yeah. In Montreal?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of money tied up long-term for some guys there, for sure. Like, he did address a lot of problems, though. I give him credit. No, he's had a good off-season for sure. You know, and I don't know, if you go around the league and look at all the Canadian teams and see, did they have a good off-season or not? We always have those winners and losers columns out there. You know, but it could turn on a dime. Like, you guys know that better than anybody else. You know, you get Nate Schmidt landed in your lap, and all of a sudden the whole complexion of your summer of being pillaged by the Flames and other things turns on a dime. Am I wrong? I mean, that's the way I read it. I was like, well, good. I'm glad for Vancouver they finally got some good news, because I think that was a heck of a deal.
Are you kidding? We were probably – this market was ready to riot again for the first time since 2011, since, you know, the way that the week – like, once Tyler Toffoli signed on Monday afternoon with the Habs, you know, I think the okay, you know, Holtby is a pretty good pivot. I think we can stomach that from a Jacob Markstrom standpoint. And then 10 of going to Calgary as well, you're kind of like – really? And then Stetcher going to Detroit, where, you know, I don't think he breaks the backs, but I think the term that what he ultimately went for, to go for $600,000 annually less than what he was making in Vancouver, and you go, you couldn't hang on to the hometown kid. And so now there's a little bit of disgust, and then the Tyler Toffoli thing goes down on the Monday, and people are like, okay, somebody's going to get their ass kicked around here. And then Nate Schmidt shows up and saves the day. That's kind of how it played out. You're right.
Yeah, that's the way I certainly saw it from afar. So I'm glad. So that the point is, it can turn on a dime. And I had a long talk with Brad Treliving yesterday about, you know, obviously you're done. You've only got like $5 million to spend. You got to sign Andrew Mangiapane for about 2.5. Like, it's just now filler, and most teams are just filling around the edges on their fourth line and such. But he says, no, I like. Don't be surprised if somebody, you know, teams are over the cap. I mean, teams have to make trades. No one saw Vegas, everyone knew Vegas was going to have to shed some salary, but no one knew they were going to basically gift one of their better defensemen to someone. I mean, my first thought was, hey, wait a second, why didn't Treliving? Like, I would rather have Schmidt than Tanev here. And you guys could tell me, you guys would be better. Who should a team rather have, Tanev or Schmidt? Now, of course, the money is different too. Schmidt makes a whole lot more, so you got to factor that in. But just as a pure defenseman, I don't know. They're both good leaders. They're both good character guys. Anyway, it's fascinating. You know, you talk about pivoting, and if you guys would have had to pay $6 million to keep Markstrom in town, and what are you paying Holtby? 3.5, 4? I don't know what.
4.3.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's almost $2 million more a year, and you could spend that a lot of really good ways. And
Louis Erickson, Jay Beagle, yeah, all those guys. Antoine Roussel.
Okay, so in some bad ways too. But, you know, in Calgary, I really questioned getting Markstrom when I thought Talbot was really, really good last year, and I think he's going to be phenomenal in Minnesota. So, and you would have saved $2.5 million a year to go with the quote-unquote lesser goalie. Well, the jury's out on who's the lesser goalie, but for $2.5 million more, boy, that's a lot of money. But anyway, Flames don't have to worry about goaltending for the next 5 or 6 years. At least that's the way Calgarians do.
Well, yeah, let's hope so. Hey, Eric, appreciate this, man. I guess it's sometimes on the West Coast, it's this time of year on the calendar, we go, wow, we forget what everybody else in Canada is dealing with. So drive safe.
Before a franchise, before you take off, a quick question on Travis Hamonic's name's come up around here around these parts in Vancouver. Just your thoughts of whether he would be a fit here in this market.
I think he'd be a fit in a lot of markets. Like he's not a top pairing defenseman, right? He's a third or fourth defenseman at best.
Yeah,
he'll block a shot with his face in a preseason game. Like he on the ice, there's no better character that I've ever dealt with. He's a fascinating study that he has not been signed yet. Fascinating. And I know talks with the Flames broke down really early in the season last year. It was very clear long, long, long time ago he wasn't going to be coming back to Calgary because they weren't willing to pay him the money that he thought he deserved. So I don't know if his asking price is too high or if he's not happy with the cities that are interested in him or if maybe him bowing out of the playoffs hurt his stock. I don't know. It's his choice. It's his choice. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying the reality is some guys will look at that and say, hey, you abandoned the team when we needed you most. So I don't know how that plays out around the league.
Thank you. Nice to catch up, sir.
Cheers, boys. Get those puzzles going.
Got
thanks.
It.
Thanks, Specter.
Cheers, guys.